Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Aki's here, and then Jacob returned. Yay.
Hey. It was a nice, peaceful week without any fuck.
Man, your audio quality sounds like shit.
Very much so. It is terrible crap.
All right. Do you want me to hop out and see if it improved?
Yeah, might as well. While you're gone, we have a guest hanging out with us, Mike from Berserk Studio. How are you doing?
Howdy. I'm doing good. How about you guys?
I'm doing fantastic. I am excited to finally have you on the show. I bumped into you at MAGFest quite a few number of years ago, and you were showing off a little indie game that wasn't available on any platforms yet called Just Shapes and Beats, and now it's on everything, and it has blown up. What are your thoughts on it? Like, it's been a crazy few years.
It's been a wild ride. We were not expecting the game to blow up this big, so, and we were probably just thinking about doing it on Switch only at first, but now we're even on Stadia now, so we're
on
actually
Stadia.
Everywhere. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm sorry.
It's a challenge.
I'm actually surprised. Stadia still has new stuff coming. I'm surprised. I thought they would honestly be gone by now, but they're proving a lot of people wrong.
Yeah, they're actually a great platform. If you don't follow the hatred online, it's actually a great platform to play on. Like, I know for a while that it was the best platform to play Cyberpunk on, so...
If you have good internet, of course it's a good one, but...
Yeah, if you don't like a... Lots of people don't have Mike, good like internet. Jacob there, that seems like he's playing from a trash can, you should be fine with it.
Well, I think what they said is it's suggested to have, a gig or something for that to work really, really well or something. From what I remember.
But Cyberpunk or Stadia?
No, Stadia. Oh. Thought it was something like a gig is what they suggested. I'm like, I don't even have a tenth of that.
I don't actually know. I have 200 megabyte down? Man, it played fine.
I have a tenth of that.
I think I'm at 200 or something. And it seemed to work okay for what I played on it. I only really played the demo of, what was the game? With the angel dude who flies. Why can't I remember?
Is there angels that don't fly?
I think so. They're evil, right? Immortals. No, it's not immortal. What the hell's the name of the game? Why can't I remember this?
I don't know. I need more.
I'm struggling. Ubisoft.
Assassin's Creed.
Phoenix Rising?
Yeah, there we go. That one. I played the demo of that on there, and it seemed to play really well.
I really like that game.
I like it so much I can't even remember it.
Yeah, well, it confused me because the character isn't an angel at all.
I'm they're drunk. What can I say?
Icarus's wings, what they are.
I wish I was drunk.
Oh, God. Your mic is still not.
Yeah, what the hell's going on with your quality, Jacob?
I don't fucking. I don't know. I got one other thing I can try. Give me a second.
Okay. Hopefully he gets it figured out.
He takes a week off and this shit, we fucking...
Unforgivable.
As it should be.
I'll have him fired for this.
Good.
Or at least...
I'm official co-host. Woot!
Official. There's six of you now, so...
I'm officially the best one, so...
Yeah, you wish. So anyway, Just Shapes and Beats, for the people who don't know what this game is, give us the sales pitch. What is this game?
It's a game that's about shapes, and it's also about beats.
All right, that sounds good. Good night, everyone.
it's a musical bullet hell that you play with. You can play alone, but you can play with up to four people. And it's all, every single stage is orchestrated around the music that's playing in the background, which is all handcrafted. It sounds very... vague, but the game is actually vague as well, so that kind of works out.
It's one of those, I think they call them dodge-em-ups is the genre people are calling it now.
Yeah, I think I coined that a while ago. But I forgot. I've like gave it so many names across the last 6 years now. Like even more than that. Whatever. I saw you.
What are some of your favorite names?
Madness. Organized Chaos. I really like Musical Bullet Hell. It's actually kind of explains it a lot better than just Dogma. I do feel like.
A good name.
It's mostly that it's a base around the music itself. It's not just the focus is not on dodging. It's just about enjoying the music that's playing, which is something I really liked about the game.
Aki, you were worried about playing this game, right? You didn't really get any hands-on time with it. What was your concern with it?
I watched some of the trailer to see if I wanted to take claim to the game, and all the stuff is very flashy. Especially whenever the music comes in, I guess it's the beat that I guess everything's turning red to. All the enemies, laser beams and stuff that just appear on the screen, or the giant circles and stuff, they seem to flash an awful lot.
We have a photosensitive mode that you can enable to remove all those flashes. It doesn't remove all of it, but it removes like 99% of it.
Oh, very nice.
I was going to say, it's the first thing that comes up when you boot up the game.
Like
telling you, like, hey, this is an option.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we really wanted to have as many people as we could to enjoy the game, so we tried to add as much. Well, I mean, that was 6 years ago, but we tried to add as much as accessibility features as we could back then, so.
Okay, that was the one thing I was really worried about, was that, because I was like, wow, that's a lot of flashing.
Yeah, and especially since one of our QA is having like some headaches when it flashes too much, so, and since he has to play like 9 hours a day, we needed that feature, if only just for the QA.
Yeah, okay.
Well, it's good that it made it public as well. So, Aki, maybe we could get you into this game and see what your thoughts are.
Mm-hmm. I'm not good at bullet hells. I might be able to beat the first level. Maybe.
It's not that bad.
I mean, if Jacob can do it, you can do it.
It's
you have
true.
So many different ways that you can actually just enjoy the game that doesn't have to be like the hardcore guy as well. You have like a party mode that doesn't have a difficulty at all. You have casual mode that increases your life count by twice. It's very lenient.
Okay.
I don't want to say that you're a 12-year-old, but I'm saying that we have mostly 12-year-olds playing that don't really have a problem with the game.
I'm effectively like 3. It's fine.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Mentally, yeah. I'm pretty down there.
I think it's kind of cute. You think you're even up to 3, Joe. But okay.
Hey, I can form words. I'm doing pretty okay.
Sometimes.
My mic works well, Jacob.
Is my mic working better or no?
You still
it's working
robotic.
Better. It's still better, not good. But, yeah.
Because I switched over to the Astro gaming headset that I had to review. Like
I don't think it's
ago.
The headset. I think it's your connection.
Great. There's really nothing else I could do about it.
Are you streaming from a bunker?
No. Lancaster, Pennsylvania, unfortunately.
Oh, that's why.
Get the horse and buggy out there to churn the wheel and get the electricity working again.
That didn't even make sense.
I don't know.
How do you churn electricity?
I don't know. Magic. So, yeah, what the hell's going up with your micro? Like, you've been gone for a week and you come back and everything's all fucked up. What's going on?
I don't know.
You sound so robotic.
I even, like, restarted my phone just to make sure that, like, that wasn't it. So, it's like, I don't know what else to do with it.
I don't know what to do with you either.
I mean, I could restart my modem if you guys want me off the show for another, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, do that.
All right. Fuck y'all.
Okay.
Carnage says Jacob auto-tune now. Oh, so anyway, more Just Shapes and Beats. Tell us more about this game. The soundtrack in this game is ridiculous. How many people are involved with the soundtrack, and how did you get them involved?
We have about 55 different tracks that's across 20 different artists, and mostly it's just been meeting people at shows. Like when I would go to Magfest, I met Chibzel there, I met Shirobon, I met Dynamo Cannon there, I met Saber Pulse there, I think, as well. Oh, Cubby. I met a lot of people just going through shows and just like from word of mouth of just talking to people like, hey, we, especially with Monster Cat as well, because we have the label Monster Cat in the game, and they give us like the entire library that's incredibly big. It's, I want to say like 20,000 songs or something.
Good Lord.
It's insane. So yeah, we've just been talking to them and just like making sure that they understand that the game is there to promote them more than it's us taking their crowd and coming, bringing it to the game, because we really wanted to promote the indie artists, like indie electronic artists with our games.
Yeah, I love
that. Was the
go ahead.
I was gonna say that the tagline at first of the game was just Ships and Beats, a game, indie game promoting indie music. So it was always our motto.
I don't think I saw you guys when the title was that long. I think I only saw you when it was just Shapes and Beats at Matt.
Yeah, that tagline lasted about 2 weeks. It was way too long.
I do love that whenever you start a stage in the game, it's very prominent with the name of the artist and the track title. Like it's very upfront about who you're listening to. It's very easy to find the artists and, you know, find more of their content online. You know, some games make it hard to track down who's in there, and you're just very upfront, like, this is who's in the game. Enjoy them.
Yeah, because the game was itself was inspired by music that's in the game, so we needed to have those guys on the forefront and make sure that they're the one getting all the props for what they did, because what they did is awesome. I mean, it inspired the entire game, so we were really into just like promoting the hell out of them if we can. And like even on Twitter right now, like every single time one of our artists posts something, well, I want to say one of our artists, I mean like one of the artists that's on the game, whenever they promote something on Twitter, we always repost and do as much as we can to just give them some exposure, because we couldn't have made the game without them. Yeah, you know.
Was there a lot of crossover with you guys in the Soundfall team? I noticed a lot of artists kind of back and forth there.
No, not at all. Like, to be honest, like at first when we started making the game, we didn't want to play too many music games because we didn't want to be compared, and we didn't want to be like accidentally just inspiring ourselves from other games, you know, like in this way that we made sure that we didn't feel like we were like ripping off something else. Everything that we made in the game was unique and was original. So we have no overlap with any other music game.
That's really cool. How did you get people to create new songs for the game?
Well, usually we would ask them. There's no better way to just like do it than just like asking them, like, would you like to do like something custom for us? Here's a bag of money, please. Make it sound good. Because, you know, exposure doesn't pay your bills. So we wanted to make sure that all our artists were like properly like compensated for the work they were doing for us.
Are they paid up front or is it a royalty thing?
Always up front.
Gotcha. I don't know how business deals like that work. So.
I don't either. I'm basically just three dogs in the trench coat, so I don't know things. I try my best to be an adult, but it's very hard.
Well, I love that your official title is the guy that gets shit done at Berserk Studio.
Yeah, I'm unable to find an adult title for what I do, because what I do doesn't really have a title. Because I do everything that's not production now, so how do you say that? I do stuff. Like, on top of just doing paperwork, I also do PR, I do HR, I do a bunch of shit, so I just figured that might as well have some fun with it.
Hey, it works. You're the guy to get shit done. I should use that for, instead of host, I should be just like shit doer.
Yeah, that could be construed as something else, but...
Shut up, Aki, you were thinking it.
You are the almighty doer of shit.
Yeah, buddy.
All we're adults be afraid. Again.
No, we're not adults. No, that's crazy talk. We are all immature children. I've only been doing the show for 9 years. I will never grow up. I can't help it.
Growing up sucks.
It's too easy to stay immature and stay young.
Yep. You know, like if you don't get old, you don't get like weak knees and shit. So.
So what brought you guys to MAGFest?
The music itself brought us there because we wanted to meet as many musicians as we could. And we knew from Dan Mulcannon and Family Jewels, that's also a friend of the studio, we knew that MAGFest was pretty rad, so we wanted to try it out. And since it was so close to New Year's, when I the first time I went there, it just kind of made sense to just like extend my vacation in it, like see how it is.
How, and just, how I really love that. Have you been going there?
Jesus Christ, too many years. I've been doing the circuit since 2014. My first MacFest was in 2016, and I've been doing every year unless I forgot to sign up, which happened twice.
It's still a pretty good record for being in the MagFest indie section.
Yeah, especially since we're not supposed to be like, I know like MagFest people are going to be like crucifying me for saying this, but we were not supposed to be going a couple of times, just that we had people pulling out. Because you're not supposed to be showing the same game, I think, I want to say it's three times or twice. And I've shown Ships and Beats like four times so far, but just that we didn't have anything else to show. I really wanted to go, and there was some room, so I snuck in.
Hey, whatever works. I you guys are a staple of MagFest now. Like I didn't see a Just Shapes and Beats set up at all this year, and felt sad.
Yeah, I really wanted to go this year, but the Canadian government was making it very hard for me to travel in January. We had a weird-ass thing that we needed to have a test done 72 hours before leaving, and then you had to wait another 72 hours before taking another test, and then you needed another test before leaving the U.S. 72 hours before that. So all in all, I would have to have stayed in the States for like a week and a half.
Oh, wow.
Which really made no sense because it's a two-day show, you know.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't want to stay here though if I didn't have to.
I don't know. I really like the Gaylord. It's fun.
Yeah, Hockey's never been to MagFest. It's held at the hotel called the Gaylord National Resort. Yes, that's its name.
I love that.
Yes, that's its name. Get the giggles out. And go figure. She's the lesbian on the show, and she's the one giggling.
I love anytime something's named Gaylord. It's hilarious.
It's very official, you know.
Like, beautiful hotel.
The Gaylord. But yeah, it's a very nice. Well, I mean, it's a very nice hotel, and that's the convention that's inside the same hotel, which is something I've never seen before. So that's kind of crazy.
Oh.
I really love that show.
Yeah, Aki, we got to get like you. We got to get Chris. We got to get Purnell. We have to get everyone to MagFest one of these years and just have a big SML big group meetup.
That would involve me leaving my house.
Yeah, you know, but it's MagFest.
MagFest is a lot of people, and I have to leave my house. Those are two worst things on the planet for me. I don't think you're going to convince me to go there.
You don't have to, like, you don't even have to remove your pajamas when you go to MagFest. That's the best part. Last MagFest I went, spent my last 2 days in my pajamas on the show floor, showing the game.
Yeah. I walked around the show floor in a pink robe the one time.
In a pink robe?
Yes.
Please tell me you had stuff on under that.
I had shorts on underneath.
I thought we were just going to say socks.
No, I need to
I
have
was worried. Oh, wow.
A thong just for you, Aki. No, I was retired Zangief.
I love that.
So I had like my balding mohawk shaved. I called it a no-hawk. I had a pink robe on and Angry Bird slippers. We actually auctioned off the Angry Bird slippers at the charity auction and made like $100 for Child's Play.
Nice. That sounds kind of awesome.
So what kind of cool stuff has Berserk done at MagFest besides show off the games?
I mean, I've been always going on my own. So like whatever I was doing was just like stay all day on the show floor. I usually even like keep the game running all night. I would just leave at 1 a.m. from the show floor and just go to bed and start again in the morning. We haven't done anything else. We should have, but I'm lazy. I like sleeping.
Any shows or anything?
I'm sorry?
No panels or shows or anything?
No, because when you're alone, you can't really do panels because you would need somebody to watch your game, watch your booth. And if you do panels, well, you have to be like an hour away from your booth, and that's usually too much to ask from volunteers because everybody at MagFest is a volunteer, so they can't really just like start watching everybody else's booth, you know. I was supposed to be on a panel last MagFest, but I didn't because I didn't go, but that would have been fun.
What was that video about?
Music copyrights. Oh, how fun.
Oh.
Sounds delightful and just very entertaining.
What is there to cover with music copyright? I mean, I know we've had people from Harmonix on the show before, and I think the most famous saying they have is licensing is hard.
Oh, yeah. Licensing is, I wouldn't say hard. Licensing is garbage. It's, you never know what you're getting into with licensing because you're at the mercy of, well, for the online part, you're at the mercy of the algorithm on YouTube and Twitch. So whatever the algorithm decides, whoever is streaming it is at the mercy of that algorithm. So even though we have all the rights to all the tracks to do streaming and stuff like that, sometimes you would get like a false positive on a video and then the video would get taken down and then I get yelled at because I told people that it was safe and then I have to try to contact the artist and the artist doesn't even know that it's taken down. It's a huge pain in the ass. But it's something that you need to do because, I mean, you can't just use music that's not doesn't belong to you. You know, you have to go through the artist. You have to properly just compensate them and stuff like that. And it's very important for the industry as a whole to grow, to make sure that everybody is like not only on the same page, but everybody is getting paid for it because you don't want to take advantage of someone, you know.
That's the glory of doing a podcast where a bunch of your friends are musicians. They just love when you use their music on the show. So anytime I have an excuse to play Danimal, I will.
Yeah, Dan is awesome.
He was just on the show the other week talking about this game, talking about Soundfall, talking about other stuff he's worked on. In addition to just Shapes and Beats, you guys also recently released Infernax.
Yes.
Tell us about that one.
Infernax is a game that we've been working on for 11 years now.
Wow.
Off and on. We started in 2008. It was supposed to be just a small Flash game. We worked on it like 2 weeks. It was a super short experience. We just wanted to make it. Well, back then, there was no Shovel Knight out there. You know, there was no pixel game at all. It was not the big craze that it is now. So we just wanted to make like a game that was inspired by the games that we played when we were kids in Flash. So I mean, small pixel game in Flash, super gory, super violent. And we couldn't find any way to monetize it because, as you might remember, Flash games were aimed at kids usually, right?
No.
Like, it was supposed to be just like for free games online for kids. So like all the sponsors that would usually like help you with like pay for your games, they would want to make sure that it's monetizable to kids. And Infernax was nothing but that. Like you couldn't like monetize that at all with all the kids. So we had to shelve it. And then the studio was almost closed at some point, like in 2013. So we were just going to release a Kickstarter for it. And the morning that we're going to be releasing the Kickstarter, the studio closed. So like we started calling the game the cursed game because every single time we would try to work on it, something terrible would happen.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, like, and then so every couple of years, we try to pick it back up and just try to work on it and try to finish it. But we never really managed to do that until 2018 after Ships and Beats came out. We finally had we could take the risk, financial risk ourselves to just do it. So we figured out, well, might as well. Like the game is mostly done. We can probably do it. And yeah, that was 2018. We released it this year. So it took us 4 years to just take a game that was mostly finished and actually finish it.
But it's out and it is awesome.
Thank you.
It is ridiculously over the top. And I love that it's essentially two games in one.
It's many games in one.
Well, it depends on the cheat code you put in.
Exactly, yeah. You have like, what, four different characters that you can play? Four or five?
Wow.
And at first, you just start with your mace and you just think it's going to be just another Castlevania clone, right? And then it just opens up after you beat it once. You realize, oh, there's more than one ending. Oh, and like a cheat code. Oh, now I have a gun. Whoa, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah, everyone loved that cheat code when it just turned in from Castlevania to Contra. It's beautiful.
And the music changes too. That's so crazy.
It kind of made the game a bit too easy, but I enjoyed it that way. I enjoy games that I can just blaze through and destroy everything.
I mean, that's the point of a cheat code, you know? Like, a cheat code is supposed to make it easier. Like, when you would do the Konami code in Contra, it made it 10 times easier because you had 10 times the lives. So I think it's less than 10 times easier.
All right, Jacob, take four.
How about now?
It still sounds the same.
You know what? Fuck you, buddy.
Poor Jacob.
Poor Jacob. Womp womp. Well, Jacob, do you have any questions about just shapes and beats? Or Infernax?
What has already been covered?
A lot of stuff.
Yeah, no shit. But I mean, like, what stuff?
Well, ask questions and we'll let you know if it's been covered.
And I might just give a completely different answer just to throw you off.
I mean, the music is absolutely awesome. And I've had a lot of fun playing the game, especially when I'm completely baked. So was any of that kind of stuff like, was that actually like a thought in your folks' mind? Like, you know, this is going to be a fun, like, game for people to, like, veg out to and at the same time also panic, you know, as it's a very, I don't even know how the hell to put it, but it's just like, it's a very chaotic game. Was any of that kind of stuff put in? Like, was that ever a thought with that or no?
Not at all, because the main game designer is he's very much a dad. Like, he has three spawns of his own, and whenever he made the game, we made it in 48 hours for the first demo. We did that in 48 hours, and he just wanted to make something that was like crazy looking, but it was not like supposed to be like something trippy, because he doesn't do drugs. He's probably the straightest man in the studio. It was just like something he wanted to make something fun, like something that kids would be able to play and just have fun. Okay. And usually, like, how do you get kids' attention? Usually flashing lights and loud music. So
that's fair. And also,
this is true.
I mean, and plus they do enjoy, you know, moving around all over the damn screen. I mean, watching my two kids try to play literally anything.
Jacob, did you play this with your kids?
No, I did not. They've barely been on the Xbox since we got back from vacation. So unfortunately, they haven't had a chance to play it yet.
You're going to need to do a family game night.
Yeah, no, I can see this actually being something that they would really, really be into. Also, it'd be a good time to find out whether any of them are photosensitive.
Yeah, well,
you know, don't bother taking them to the doctor. Just have them play just Shapes and Beats. You know, we'll figure it out then.
Yeah, like one of our first QAs were actually Simon's kids. Like, we figured that if we could like hold their attention for more than 15 minutes, we were probably holding something.
Okay. Yeah. I've played this quite a bit since I got my copy for review, and yeah, it definitely holds attention. Even though all the levels are fairly short too. I mean. Yeah. But yeah, like especially like the boss stuff. Oh my god, like those levels without like any like checkpoints. Oh my god.
Yeah, it was like those levels were just like an experiment we were doing at one time at PAX. We wanted to have a stage that didn't have a checkpoint, so we could tell a story to it, and it like resonated so much with people that we just decided to just do the entire like boss cycle and stuff. A lot of it was just like very. Seeing like how people react to the game once we get the show floor, and then bring that information back home and just like, all right, how can we use that and make sure that we make the game better from those experiences?
So when you took this like to the trade shows and stuff like that, what changed from like those demos to, you know, final product? Like, I mean, was there anything that was like cut or like gameplay changed up? Or was it just like, people seem to be getting like stuck here, you know, let's change this up a little bit.
Yeah, we changed off the difficulty on some stages at first because we wanted to make sure that people could beat it at PAX, because since we didn't have like the, you know, like when you play the actual full game, you have a life system, right? You have three lives that when you're done with your life, you start the stage at the beginning. We didn't have that at PAX because we didn't want to slow down the pace. So we had to tune down the levels. Like, all the levels that were in the demo were levels that people could beat after 10 minutes. Like, just make sure that if you're just picking up the controller for the first time, you would be able to beat the game like pretty easily. Like, well, not easily, but wouldn't be too hard until you get to Mortal Kombat. So
I was gonna say, I've been playing it in a casual mode, and I'm fearful of like what normal mode is like for this game, because I'm delightfully awful at it, and it's just like, you know, I keep dying, but it's just like thank God for the checkpoints, because it's just like, okay, if I can get here, maybe I can get to the next. Okay, no, I can't. But yeah, I this is a really fun game.
Thank you.
Like,
you mentioned Mortal Kombat. Some people may not have stumbled onto that song yet, but I know it was one of the most popular tracks to see people playing at MAGFest. How did you guys go about getting the Mortal Kombat theme in this game?
Well, I probably like gained 20 pounds and lost 20 years of life expectancy trying to get it. It was about a year and a half of paperwork and just like finding who even owned those rights, because it was not the Mortal Kombat track from the game. It was from the movie from the 90s. And back then, there was like no trace of who owns what rights, so I had to just email people and fax people and call people until I found the right person. Because every single time I would like find someone that would actually answer, it would just usually tell me that, oh, well, we sold those rights, or we're bankrupt and we lost the rights like 10 years ago. Here's the new guy that has it. Email that guy. Oh, I also went bankrupt and now this guy has the rights. Like, all right, then. It was like just a rabbit hole of 14 months of
sadness.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, the amount of times like that kind of stuff changes hands is ridiculous. I had a similar experience when I worked at a library trying to track down the owner of a documentary about Hitler. And like, it was made in the 1980s for high school kids, yet this college professor demanded that, you know, we have a DVD copy. And it went all the way from, you know, like just trying to track down like the original company, which of course no longer existed. And we ended up getting all the way to Roger Corman's, the film director, his company. And like his legal department was just like, listen, if you've made it this far to us, like just consider having, like, we don't know if we own it. Like, we don't think we do. But at this point, if you've gotten like to us, you've done your due diligence. Just make your fucking archival copy. Nobody gives a shit about this documentary.
If only it was that easy for music, because everybody cares about music rights because it brings them money.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something I like mentioning Mortal Kombat. That's actually something I don't get. It's just like that Mortal Kombat, the album that they released back in like 92, with Techno Syndrome on it. It's just like, you can't find it anywhere. It's out of print. Like, and there's no digital like versions available for sale. And I'm just like, what the hell, guys? Like, with a movie that just came out, why is nobody like,
it's not even on Spotify.
Yeah, it's nowhere.
It's on, like, YouTube, I guess.
Well, yeah.
And, it's in Shapes and Beats.
I bought a CD copy to replace my old one. But yeah,
CDs, it's just, wow.
But yeah, no, like it amazes me that it's just like that thing is just, it's just not there. Like,
for the longest time, I don't think they even wanted us to remember it.
Oh, dude, Techno Syndrome? Holy shit. Like, that's a classic video game song.
I ended up having to contact the Immortal guys to see, like, who owned the rights. They didn't even know themselves. Because I couldn't... Do you know, like, the Immortals actually is a... It was a... I don't want to say it was a gimmick band, but it was just, like, they made four tracks, right? Three of them was for the Mortal Kombat soundtrack, and one of them was some disco acid trip that they did.
Yeah, they were like an acid prog band or something like that. Because I actually researched it, and like I was emailing and tweeting at Warner Brothers. It's just like, guys, why the fuck isn't like this album available for sale? You own Mortal Kombat. Like, what the fuck? And yeah, nobody replied back to me, but... Yeah, so I mean, that doesn't surprise me that,
Twitter of the band has died by now. Like, there's only one guy left he's a Belgian guy. Yeah. I managed to talk to him. He was a good guy.
Huh.
Are there any other weird, crazy tracks in the game?
We've managed to get the rights to do a remix of an Undertale track that for the last update we did. It was something that we've been trying to do for a while, and we finally managed to get a hold of the people that manage Toby Fox's catalog. And we got remixed by Shirobon. Sorry if I'm mumbling, by the way. I'm eating Judge Bees. So, but yeah. So So we managed to get a remix done for one of the tracks from Undertale for the last update, and that was quite a trip.
That's pretty awesome.
Now,
no, go ahead, Jacob.
So out of curiosity, and it's like, and this question is coming because the longer I've been on this show, like I've started to like see some games get delisted and stuff like that, you know, for various reasons, whether it's rights or, you know, music rights or like character rights, like, you know, Poker Night at the Inventory and stuff like that. Is there like, so what was the plan with like the music that you folks licensed to? Is it for like a set amount of years that this game is available for sale, or did you like license it in perpetuity? So like Just Shapes and Beats will be up for forever. Like how, like what was the plan for that?
It's supposed to be perpetuity. I can't say that word out loud. I can't.
Forever.
Perpetuity. Yeah, it's supposed to be forever. Yeah. I think the only problem is Mortal Kombat is a set couple of years, but it's like 10 years. So we can just renew it every couple of years to make sure. So we might just buy like 40 years of it. And if we're still up there in 40 years, I'm going to be happy. Like,
yeah, if the game is still there after 40 years, you probably got a remaster or a sequel by then.
Yeah. We should be okay.
So what is next for Just Shapes and Beats? Are we going to see more content for the game? Are we going to see a sequel? Is any of that even in being thought of yet?
Not really. We're taking basically the summer off right now. We've been doing some offside Shapes and Beats things because we just announced that we have a partnership with Lou Interactive, which is obviously, that's like a big projector you put in your kid's gymnasium and they can play with like balls on the wall. And it just like, there's games like being played on the projector and they just can interact with it with balls and stuff. It's supposed to be like bridging between the fact that all the kids have their noses on screen all the time now. And you're trying to make them move as well, like, and like by inspire them with graphics on the wall. So we've been doing a partnership with them and we're going to be making a couple of games with them. But that's going to be the project for the summer, just like trying to take the Shapes and Beats franchise and make kids actually move in gymnasium with it.
Are we going to see like a big Just Shapes and Beats franchise? Are there going to be like plushies in an animated series?
If I can get my hand on Netflix, sure.
Would
give
you
me
sell
that Netflix
the right-
money.
Would you sell the rights to Uwe Boll?
Not sure yet.
That's a tough one.
He's the one that did the big stinkers, right?
I apparently none of them have made a profit, so I would assume so. But I mean, yeah, critics did not like his video game based movies.
I would see a Tommy Wiseau Just Shapes and Beats movie.
No, oh, gee.
I'd be behind that.
Oh, hi, Shapes.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Shape. Yeah, one of our founders of the studio has like the DVD and the Blu-ray of The Room.
Wow.
And we went to see the Disaster Artist on launch night in Quebec, which is, there's only one theater that would show it, and there was only one showing, so we just showed up like the entire studio there just to see the showing. We liked The Room.
That's pretty fantastic. I like The Disaster Artist. I thought that was a pretty good movie.
I still have yet to see it. I've seen The Room.
You're the one who watches every movie and you haven't seen that one?
Yeah, because I have kids and sometimes it makes it a little bit difficult. And when that movie came out, my youngest was very much when I'd have to like sit there like feeding him and stuff like that. He hated movies like where people like shout or like there was like explosions and stuff like that. So like for about a year, I was watching nothing but documentaries.
At least you're smart now.
No, don't no,
give
it
him
does
that
not.
Much credit. Don't give him that much credit.
At least your mic is better now then.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but things, you sound normal.
What, now?
Yeah, like 10 minutes ago, it started sounding normal.
I don't know. Maybe my internet connection finally improved.
Maybe. Who do you have for internet?
I have Comcast.
Oh, who was right. It who was Maybe. Talking about Comcast and how much they loved Comcast? Was that Steve-O?
That was me. No, that was me.
That was you saying you love Comcast and you're fucking talking about robot auto-tune?
Yeah, I literally
auto-tune.
Have never had, I've never had, like, any kind of issue with them except apparently tonight.
Good job.
And honestly, I mean, because it's this podcast, I'm really going to chalk it up as a non-issue.
Fair enough.
You asshole. Oh, man. I know we've been chatting for a while. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about that we didn't bring up?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm just here for the ride, man.
You're just here for the ride? How long of a ride did you want to hang out for? Did you want to go over the week's news with us?
Sure. It sounds fun.
Jacob, are you ready for news? Aki, are you ready for news?
I'm always I'm ready for news because I don't have any.
Yeah, good stuff.
And I will tell you this, Aki. I don't have any Sonic news for you this week. I know your life is empty.
Anyway, PS5 sales have reached 20 million worldwide.
That's pretty cool.
There's so, that many consoles out?
I know. Isn't it surprising? Apparently, 20 million people have a PS5, but no one has a PS5.
That's probably because those 20 million are probably in the handful of like 3 million people.
Yeah. Just 3 million scalpers selling 20 million systems.
Yep, just making a PS5 for it.
Do you have a PS5, Mike?
Yeah, I got one on release because I don't have a life. I haven't played it in 2 months. It's been gathering dust.
Yeah, I bought a PS5 and then I sold the PS5 and then we rebought a PS5 and I'm not using it much. But I'm hoping with the PS Plus makeover that I start firing up a bit more.
And I'm a little shocked you were able to get a hold of a second one, to be honest.
You have no idea how many men he blew for it.
So many men. Sony has announced The Last of Us Part 1 for release on PS5 and later on PC. So they are really milking The Last of Us Part 1.
And I love how salty all the PS PlayStation fans are getting. The Sony ponies, as they were. They do not like that this shit's being put on Steam at all. I'm just like, yeah, fuck you guys. I'm so glad. I've wanted to play The Last of Us. So I'm like, coming to PC? My PC ain't good enough. But one day, it will be. And I'll get to play it finally.
No, you won't.
I just never understand that shit. I mean, it's just like, oh, it needs to stay on our console. Like, shut up. Like, now you have more people playing it. Like,
yeah, that's how I've always felt. The more people that play it, the more people can enjoy it and talk to you about it. Why don't you want that? I don't get it. That was all I wanted when I was a kid, was to talk about every fucking game I played.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, nowadays, like, we live in a world where you can go buy the Sonic the Hedgehog games and play them across multiple systems and, you know, your PC and probably Mac. I don't fucking know. I don't game on a Mac. But it's just like, like, we could never have dreamed of that, like, back in the early 90s. Like,
where are you going with this?
I don't know. I'm appreciative of the fact that, like, you know, like, there's a lot of titles that are, like, multi-platform nowadays. And I think people who, like, want exclusives are dumb.
I'm still waiting for the days. I'm waiting for the day that they come out with some kind of adapter that lets you play a PS5 game on an Xbox or an Xbox game on a PS5. Like,
I would fucking kill for that.
I remember owning an attachment from my dad's Atari that let us play ColecoVision games on it.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for video games to finally get to the point where they're kind of like movies where you buy a console and it plays just whatever the fuck.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, I just wanted to finally hit that. And I don't think it's going to naturally hit that. I think the government's going to have to force it.
Well, I think that was the goal with Stadia at first, that they wanted to have like this single platform that could rally everybody because you didn't need a console. You just needed a controller God damn it, words are hard.
I think Stadia would have worked better, one, if it came out in, you know, maybe 50 years from now when the internet's good enough for it, and two, if it wasn't done by Google. They don't know what the hell they're doing. If it weren't for those two things, I think it'd do really well. I just don't think now's the time, and I don't think Google's ever the place.
Yep.
I just don't think they were confident enough in what they were doing. I think they were they just rushed it out trying to make the market, and they didn't put enough care and thought behind everything.
That's literally what they do with everything.
Yeah. Good shit. Focus Entertainment have revealed that Aliens Dark Descent is being released, a single-player squad-based action game.
Yeah.
That was the game with that nice-ass trailer at the Summerfest.
Yeah.
It was a nice trailer. That's all I'm going to say.
Nice I feel trailer. Terrible because I missed most of that, the Summerfest that they did. The only thing I care about for the next week is Sunday's Xbox event.
I didn't even know there was one.
Yeah, you should probably pay attention to that because we're going to cover it.
Yeah, might be a good idea. Remind me on Sunday.
Oh, Jesus. Cream of the crop co-hosts. Cream the crop. Sega have announced a Mega Drive Mini 2 for Japan, which will contain 50 games, including some Sega CD titles. It's going to be releasing October 27th in Japan for approximately $75. There's no word on a Western release yet, but some of the games included are Sylphid, Shining Force CD, Sonic CD, Popful Mail, Bonanza Brothers, Thunder Force 4, Fantasy Zone, a brand new Mega Drive port of it, Shining in the Darkness, a couple others. I hope they bring this over to the States because Popful Mail alone has me interested.
I thought you said it was going to be no Sonic news.
Sonic movie news.
Oh.
Jacob has Sonic movie news all the time, and he let us down this week with no Sonic movie news.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, every time he has news, he also lets us down.
That's true.
Very true.
Very true.
I like the vibe.
Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl has been updated this week to include voice acting. A reminder that it's also part of PlayStation Plus this month, so grab it and enjoy the voice acting. It seems they went all out with it. They got a bunch of the original cast members to reprise their roles, and it seems they actually cared and put the proper effort into it.
Yeah, from what I understand, there's only like 6 voice actors that aren't coming back to do the voices, and like one of them's really sick. 2 of them are dead. Yeah. So,
and I think the others have they were kids and now they're adults.
Yeah, there was 2 of them that were kids and now are adults, and that was for Aang and someone else from Avatar, I believe.
Yeah.
There's still people, is there still a good scene for Nick All-Stars? Because I know at first there was a lot of people playing, but I haven't heard about it in months now.
I think with the voice acting and the addition to PlayStation Plus, I think it's going to have a decent revival, at least until Multiverses comes out, and then I think they're in trouble.
That's fair. I mean, everyone was pretty excited about that Nickelodeon game up until, Nintendo kind of killed it with their announcement the same day. But yeah, everything I've been hearing about the Multiverses game, everyone's just this thing's a lot of fun. So I'm in agreement with that.
What did Nintendo have to do with it?
They announced Sora from Kingdom Hearts was going to be in it. Yeah, they announced that on the Nickelodeon All-Stars Brawl launch day.
Poor Nick.
Yeah, it kind of sucked. I felt vaguely bad for him because all of a sudden everybody was just like, oh, I don't give a shit about that. Guess who's coming? Yay.
Oh, man. Let's see. What other news? Forza Horizon 5 has reached 20 million players to date. And speaking of Forza 5, it was leaked on the Steam page that the first expansion is apparently a return to Hot Wheels.
Yeah, my kids are going to be excited about that.
I'm excited about that. I fucking loved the Hot Wheels in Forza Horizon 3.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked it, too. My oldest son, he actually enjoys playing that more than he does Hot Wheels Unleashed. I think partially because it's just, such an open world thing that he can, fuck around a ton with, as opposed to, tracks where dad's constantly beating him. So yeah
you don't go easy on your kids, do you?
In racing games, no. Every other game I'm very helpful and I'm slow and you know, we'll, like, you know, I'll work with them to like help them figure it out. But like once Mario Kart or like Hot Wheels Unleashed come out, it's like, I don't give a fuck who you are. Like,
yeah, since he can't beat the bots, he has to know what it's like to beat somebody in it. So he beats kids. He's terrible.
He's good at assert dominance.
Are we saying that Jacob beats his kids?
Yes.
At racing games. At racing games.
Sure.
I would really prefer that not be the title for this episode.
It won't be. Xbox is planning to allow users to play, quote, select games they already own via cloud gaming later this year. So,
well, that's cool.
That sounds vague.
Yeah. Hopefully they change it up to all games.
Well, is that tied in with like the Samsung announcement from today?
I didn't even care about the Samsung announcement because I don't.
Seriously?
What, they're going to have an app on that? Samsung TVs? No, I don't give a shit about Samsung TVs. I'm never going to buy a Samsung TV, so I don't care about an Xbox app on a TV I'll never own.
That allows you to like play it like with cloud gaming. Like, you don't have to have a system.
Okay.
But we already have systems, so that's...
All right, fuckface. I get that we already have systems. Yes, of course we all have systems. That's how we're reviewing all this shit. But I mean, like, for other people who don't, like, you know, who don't have an Xbox Series X, they could just buy this TV, they get themselves Game Pass Ultimate, and then holy shit, like, you're just playing it right off of your TV. Like, no console required. How fucking awesome is that? And you guys are just like, who cares?
I guess it depends on the titles that you can play on the Samsung TV. If you can play stuff like Seas of Thieves and stuff like that, it's going to be like crazy because it's a game that, you know, not everybody has, but with access to it would be kind of fun to be able to play with everyone. But yes, depends on the titles. I guess it's going to be on there.
I'm just used to smart TVs being slow and clunky and they run like shit. So I have absolutely zero hopes for an Xbox app to run well on a smart TV. Again, on a Samsung, which I hate and I will never buy.
Why do you hate Samsung?
Because, like, of their advertising.
Can you point on the doll where Samsung touched you?
My pee-pee. They touched me in the naughty place. I hate their advertising. I hate all the automatic advertising that they have on their smart TVs, where, like, even if you're disconnected, like, they're still advertising shit to you.
Fuck that.
Like, I don't want more advertising, and Samsung is just all about shoving ads down people's throats, and I don't want that, so I will stick to my dumb TVs and my console, so I don't need a TV app to play cloud gaming, Jacob.
I mean, again, yes, you don't, but other people, like, I don't know. I think this is a really awesome leap for this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
If it can be a point of entry for people that don't have consoles right now, it might be the gateway drug to them for having
console afterwards. Especially with, like, if people are having issues, like, getting their hands on an Xbox Series X or S. I mean, yeah, like, that's the thing. This is an easy gateway for it. Just buy the fucking TV instead.
Can't find a $300 console? Fuck it. Buy an $1,800 TV instead.
That's how much this is going to cost.
I don't know how much the TVs are going to cost. TVs aren't cheap, though. I don't see this being a feature on, like, the $120 budget model.
Every TV I've ever bought has cost less than $500.
Oh, shit. Jacob, did you hear that Limited Run is going to be doing a bunch of physical Xbox releases?
I did. About time.
Yes. They're going to be doing A Boy and His Blob Retro Collection, Doom 64, Lunark, Plumbers Don't Wear Ties Definitive Edition, Power Slave Exhumed, River City Girls 2, Shadowrun Trilogy, Spider-Saurus, I have no clue what that is, Tetris Effect Connected, and then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Shredder's Revenge, which just got announced for a June 16th release date with 6-player online play, and it's on Game Pass.
Yup. So fucking psyched.
It's on Game Pass. Good old Game Pass.
I'm so excited for Plumbers Don't Wear Ties.
I'm not familiar with it. What's that one?
It's an FMV game from the 90s. It's horrible in every single way that you can even... It even smells bad. It's going to be great.
Okay, cool. I'm sold. Yeah, all you had to do is just say FMV, and I was just like, all right, awesome.
Oh, it's going to be awful. I can't wait.
I mean, I bought Night Trap on my Switch, so I'm the target market.
Well, there you go. Unfortunately, I don't think they ever brought Night Trap over to Xbox. I think that's one that got held up for some reason. I don't know. But this new Saints Row, we've been talking about Stadia, got rated for Stadia. So possible good news for the Stadia owners with Saints Row. That might be hitting the platform. And they also released a boss customization demo of sorts on, I think, all platforms today. Yep, and then the last bit of news I have is that House of the Dead Remake was updated on the PS4 to allow PlayStation Move support.
Huh. It's like a feature that I'm never going to use.
I was going to say, because the Xbox version got updated too, so I'm wondering what that was about then.
Connect.
I was joking around. I said that on a tweet on Twitter. I replied. I'm like, oh, clearly this means Kinect support, right? Yes? No? Nobody else? I can't even imagine Kinect
support. If you did it for Switch, you're going to be able to play on the Wii Fit board.
Detects when you crouch down to reload. That'd be crazy. Oh, God,
that'd be a pain in the ass.
So, Jacob, what news do you have? Anything from your week off?
Well, as it turns out, Aki, because of what you just said, I've decided to dig up some Sonic the Hedgehog movie news. So, Aki, what time is it?
Sonic the Hedgehog news time.
Oh, yeah. So, unfortunately, Sonic the Hedgehog dropped to number 8 this week in the U.S. box office. Good. Still the highest grossing video game movie in the United States of all time. It should also be noted that despite Sony popping Morbius back in on 1,000 screens this weekend, Sonic the Hedgehog 2 still outperformed it, even though the movie is available on video on demand.
From what I understand, everything should surpass Morbius.
Yeah.
Morbius was number 14, while Sonic was number 8.
Didn't they release Morbius again just because of memes?
Yes.
It's Morbin time or some bullshit. I don't know.
They didn't realize everyone was making fun about how bad that fucking movie was, so they brought it back being like, oh, people like it.
Nope.
No, they don't.
You misunderstood the hashtag trending.
Very much.
It's Sony. That doesn't surprise me. Like,
I'm really sad that movie was bad, because like, I saw the trailers for it forever ago, and I was like, well, that seems like that could be a good movie, and like, it's...
That seems like it could be a good movie?
It's a movie with Jared Leto, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's why.
He's dreamy. Probably.
He's dreamy? So is there like a specific film that you find him dreamy in, or just everything, or you're more of a 30 Seconds to Mars kind of guy?
Hey, I won't lie. I enjoy 30 Seconds to Mars.
I don't even know what that is.
It's his band.
He's in a band?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes.
I just thought he was a really shitty actor.
They have, like, 6 albums out.
Yeah, and on top of it, I mean, like, yeah, his method acting as of late, like, I mean, and when I say as of late, I mean at least, like, the last 10 years are a tad crap. But, I mean, like, his performance in Requiem for a Dream was amazing.
So what other news do you have?
Anyway. So, because I didn't listen to the podcast while I was gone.
Reasonable.
Well, I mean, you know, even when I'm here, you know, I still don't. So Diablo Immortal, did you folks talk about that?
No.
So somebody analyzed the game and discovered it's going to take you about $100,000 to fully upgrade your character in this free to play game.
Nice.
Sounds about right.
No word if Blizzard's going to do anything about that, but yeah.
Of course they won't.
So there's that. On War Thunder, a third time, somebody has leaked classified documents.
I heard about that.
About, I love this.
One of the tanks.
This one was from China.
Yeah.
That person's not alive anymore, I'm sure.
yeah, so...
Let's not speculate on deaths, but...
So, a Chinese player posted an image on War Thunder's forums showing classified military documents. Their armament schematics for a round specifically fired by Chinese tanks. And, yeah. And of course, it got removed from the War Thunder forums, but of course, it keeps getting reposted and deleted. So, yeah, that guy's kind of fucked.
Good shit.
And also, they've been banned from War Thunder. Although, I mean, the Chinese government's probably going to ban them from life.
Yeah, probably. You would think that with all of these, they'd just say, none of y'all can play this, period. Ever. I don't care.
You'd think that, but no. Embracer Group got a $1 billion investment from Saudi Arabia as continue.
I think Nintendo got like a $5 billion investment or something like that too.
Yeah, I think it's
5% investment.
5%.
Yeah, and the thing is, Nintendo didn't even realize that it happened until they were some gaming website wrote an article about it.
Yeah.
How do you own a company and not know about
who's buying an important stock?
Thing about the company?
I mean, if you're buying it through like third-party brokers for the stock, I mean, you know, through multiple ones, you're not going to realize it until it's all, you know, all together. And somebody's doing the work for it.
I guess that's
And last bit of news that I have is the Intellivision Amico is in worse trouble, according to Kotaku. yeah. So, Intellivision has canceled their $5 million crowdfunding campaign because it only raised $60,000. Now they're trying to launch attempts to license the Intellivision IPs for release on to get the games released on other platforms in hopes of raising some cash. They also have so many refund requests on the consoles that they're not able to process them in a timely manner, and they're asking everyone to be patient. And on top of it, they've made layoffs with a significant, quote unquote, significant reduction in staff.
Oh man, that system is not doing good.
And on top of it, somebody had laid out all the shit that goes with it. But essentially, with the console, it's now no longer, if the thing ever even gets off the ground, which seems really unlikely, they've now once again changed how much it's going to cost for everything. And it's like $289 gets you the console, 6 games, and 1 controller. You have to pony up another $50 to get the second controller.
Well, that's like, every console these days.
All right, but the thing is,
just a scam artist.
This thing is now costing like $339 for what seems to be a glorified Android console. So
it's a Raspberry Pi at best.
And also in the same article from Kotaku, they posted a bunch of stuff that former CEO Tommy Tallarico posted, which I'm just like, oh, it turns out he follows a bunch of far right folks on Twitter. And what was the specific thing? He's openly insulted critics, calling them gaming racists and mentally unstable. While following several notable white supremacists on Twitter. And I'm just like, between him and like Marty O'Donnell, I'm like, what the fuck is with my favorite game composers like being far right asshats?
Oh, well.
Stupidity.
Anyway, I guess that's the news for the week.
ended on a nice note, yeah.
And ended on a good feel good story.
I mean, I'm sure I could find like some.
No, you're done. We're done with you. Mike, it has been so awesome having you on the show, chatting with us, hanging out with us. Give everybody the rundown of what games are available, how much they are, where people could get them, where people could stay in touch with you. Just give us all the info. All
right. Well, first we have Just Ships and Beats. That's out on every platform. So that's Switch, PC, on Steam, PS4, PS5, and now on Xbox since last week. And we also have Infernax, that's out on every platform, and Game Pass, so that's Switch, Sony, PlayStation, Xbox, Xbox Game Pass, Windows 10, Steam. And you can follow us at Infernax or at Shapes and Beats with an N between Shapes and Beats. And then you can follow our studio at Project Studio, or they can follow me at Mike Ducarme Sucks without the S because there's a limitation on characters on Twitter. And I can finally breathe.
Well, it's been fantastic having you on the show. You're going to have to come back and chat with us again soon sometime.
Anytime.
And show up to MAGFest this year. And we'll, it's MAGFest 20. You got to make it to this one.
I got to. Thank you so much for having me.
Do you have any final words before we let you go?
Say Farfrig Nugan.
We don't need more Sonic movies.
Yeah, we do. And besides, we're already getting a third one. And the Knuckles live action show.
All right. Well, we are finished. We will let you get going. And I guess we'll let you have yourself a good night. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you so much, guys.
Have a good night.
Oh, man. That was good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't there for shit works, Jacob. The fuck going on with your internet? Comcast is great. Fucking love Comcast. They're the best ever.
I will side with him. Because I have Comcast now Spectrum, so, and it's pretty good. It works fine.
Yeah, see, Joe.
Whatever.
Granted, I only had two options. I had AT&T.
Service Electric?
I don't know who the fuck I'm with right now. They suck. Everyone sucks.
Yeah, I had a choice between this and AT&T, and considering AT&T literally every night around, like, the moment the light outside turned on, my internet would turn off for the entire fucking night. And they, for the life of them, couldn't figure out what fucking caused it, even though I told them, every time that light turns on, this internet turns off. They refused to even check it. I got fucking Comcast, and it's worked.
Carnage perfectly. Saying Comcast or Samsung, which is the lesser of two evils. Probably Comcast, because I don't actively hate them, or I think Samsung just straight up sucks.
I don't know anything about Samsung, so.
Anyway, we have reviews to do. You ready for reviews?
Sure. I do have one
final thing to add on about that Diablo Immortal thing.
Oh, Christ, what?
Kotaku had also posted another article. Some dude spent $6,000 on the game, got no 5-star legendary gems.
Good.
Oh, I thought it was $10,000 and it was a streamer.
I do see the 10,000 number, but apparently it was 6,000. Until they got one.
Jesus.
Oh, it was $10,000 in New Zealand dollars.
Oh, okay.
Which is about 6,600 US dollars.
Okay,
so are we ready for reviews?
Yes.
Nah, let's get another tangent going.
Jesus Christ. All right, first game to talk about tonight is just Shapes and Beats, developed and published by Berserk Studio, released May 31st on Xbox One Series X and S for $19.99. Just Shapes and Beats is a chaotic co-op musical-based bullet hell on three simple things: avoid shapes, move to the kick-ass beats, and die repeatedly. It's a new spin on the shmup genre, adding a layer of cooperation that edit the core of the game, because everything is better with friends. Play alone or with up to four players, local or online, through the game's story mode or challenge runs. Jacob, tell us about your time with Just Shapes and Beats.
Well, I got the first part down, third part down. Die a lot.
Yeah.
I got that part down. So, so the game is pretty much, you are like this like little square ship thing, and you've got this shield around you, like you can't fire anything, and the whole point of the game is that you're dodging stuff, and there you know, it seems so simple to explain it up until you actually have to. So there are all these shapes that, you know, come out across the screen, and like it's all sorts of stuff. Like it could be like octagons, circles, like sometimes they fire stuff, sometimes they just blast across the screen. Other times, this part was at least nice, like some stuff you'll like see come in from the background, and like once it's fully bright, like it'll explode, and then you have to, you know, you should have dodged it by now already. Most of the time it's just lines, but in later levels they do go into other shapes like circles. And yeah, so you have to move to the beat. The game does not let you stay in one place for long. And you pretty much just have to like figure out like the timing of everything. And holy shit, is it difficult, but it is so much fun to play. Like, as I said, I died a lot, and I was even playing it on the casual mode, and I still died a lot. But the thing is, it never felt like, oh man, fuck this game, like it's difficult, like blah, 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 blah. It was just like, all right, like now I know what to do. Thank God for checkpoints up until a boss battle, and then it's like, go get fucked, scrub. I'm sorry, what?
I said, yeah, get good.
Yeah, so the boss fights don't have any checkpoints. So if you die, yeah, you're starting back at the beginning. And they are interesting. I mean, it's like, it's a standard boss battle. It's like this shape that like suddenly like will have arms or legs or like just, you know, shoots like lasers out of its eyes or whatever orifice it wants to shoot lasers out of. And you better be able to dodge it. Now, it's not like one hit and you're dead. I mean, maybe it is on non-casual mode. I don't know, because I really suck and I only played on casual. But, you know, you get multiple chances with it and your ship does take damage. But usually by that point, you're panicking enough that I found myself like just panicking and be like, oh, God, I got to get out of here. And then like ended up like just walking right into yet another thing that was going to explode my ass halfway across the screen. But yeah, it's a shitload of fun. Like especially with as much challenge as the game presents, like even that first boss, like, holy shit, that thing was difficult. But every single level that you get to the end, you're just like, holy shit, the music was amazing, this game is amazing, and I fucking made it. Like, all right, let's start up the next thing so I could just punish myself all over again.
So now you understand why I've been raving about this game for like fucking 5 years, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, this is a really fun game. And, you know, for something that doesn't, like, it seems so simplistic. You know, and it's theoretically easy to play, but holy shit, mastering it is just, oof, it's a beast. And yeah, and the music, like each track was great. Now I haven't gotten through everything yet, Danimal Cannon, Danimal, who was on our show like a few weeks ago, a bunch of his music's on there. So if you like his stuff, but yeah. It was just everything about this game was fantastic, and I'm really glad it finally made it over to Xbox.
Mel, it's sitting at $20. What are your thoughts on it?
Abso-fucking-lutely. Like, usual cheap-ass Jacob would be like, oh, it doesn't look like there's that much to the game. Blah, 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 blah. Shut up. Like, this is one of the best games that I've played this year. Like, I am incredibly pleased with it, and yeah. Everybody just needs to go buy it. $20, absolutely worth it.
Cool. All right, next up is Super Perils of Baking, developed and published by Lilimo Games, released June 3rd on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $9.99. Super Perils of Baking is a ground-up remake of Lilimo's very first title, 2018's 2D platformer Perils of Baking. In Super Perils of Baking, players take control of a talented student baker who has but one goal in mind, stopping his brother, enchanted by a cursed baking hat, garnered from their school's basement, from wreaking havoc throughout the land. Jacob, what's going on in Super Perils of Baking?
So this game has an opening that, like, I tried to make sense out of multiple times, and I was just like, I don't understand really what's going on, but okay. And when you start playing it, it's pretty much like it presents itself as like a simple platformer along the lines of the old Super Mario Brothers games. You know, there's coins to collect, there's enemies to jump on top of, and of course there's secrets too, which you get led to by this like weird, like Candyman looking guy, not like Candyman, like horror stuff, but like something you'd see out of like, you know, the Candyland board game, I guess. But yeah, so you're jumping through all these things. jumping over all these enemies and stuff like that. One of the things I will say about this, even though a bunch of the enemies pretty much have like very similar or the same like patterns of attack, I really appreciate the fact that like they took the time to animate like so many different enemies. Like, you know, there's one guy that looks like waffles. There's another one that looks like a donut. There's a cookie. There's also a cookie with weird zombie eyes. There's a cookie with wings. And it's just like, it feels like they took the time to present so much more to us than like, you know, any of the Mario Brothers games ever did, which I really appreciated, because right from the beginning, it sets itself as like, this is going to be different. We took the time like to put into this, like, you know, I don't know if I'm explaining it well enough.
No, not at all.
But okay. As a sprite based game, it looks gorgeous, and I appreciate the variety of enemies in it. Now there are like little power ups that you can get. Like, once you have a full health meter, you get this chef's hat, and you can actually throw it down to then regain health after you've lost some. So pretty much like if there's a boss that, you know, or like some area that, you know, is going to fuck you up real bad, you can toss down the hat, you know, get what you need, and then go back to it, put it on, and then you'll get some health back, which I thought was an interesting thing. And then also, like, you can glide. They're like balloons kind of thing, and it allows you to throw projectiles while you're doing that. And in later levels, you're able to throw projectiles, depending on your circumstance. But yeah, like, honestly, like, once you get past like the weird opening sequence that takes forever, like, this is a really well-made game, and I was really surprised by it, because I guess I've just played enough of those, like, cheap $5, you know, like, platformers that, you know, like,
that when you get one with, like, actual quality behind it, it stands out.
Yeah, it really does, and it's just like, you know, and I think I was a little jaded by, like, so many of, like, those $5 platformers that, like, I looked at this, and I was just like, oh, okay, it's gonna be more of the same, whatever. And it's not. Like, it's a really well-made game. Like, the graphics are, like, or, you know, the sprite graphics are beautiful. Like, the music is nice. It's just, and it controls really well. Like, I had some issues, like, judging where, like, the jumps were going to go. And there are some, like, the game does want you to keep replaying it. Because each level does have, like, I mean, levels have secrets, of course, and they want you to find them. They also have like special coins, or sorry, no, sorry. Thinking of something else I had actually played today. But like, there are secrets in each level. You know, there's also like an amount that you're like a time trial kind of thing for each one. There's also an award for like doing like a flawless run of it, which, oh my God. Like, it was just, it annoyed me so much, especially at the beginning when I was like trying to figure out like how each like different enemy worked and stuff like that, only to find out like, oh, by the way, you fucked up your flawless run. It was like, damn it. Like, I thought I could jump on this guy. Like, so then you have to go back and play it again. But like, the game always feels fresh, and I really do appreciate that with this game. So if you're a big fan of platformers, like retro platformers, definitely check this one out.
Cool. $10, your verdict?
Oh, wow. Shit, really? 10? Yeah, for 10. Absolutely.
Pay attention when I
say no, I'm not going to pay
attention. I do, if it makes you feel better.
I don't believe you.
You have only heard me say, oh, really, that much? Only once or twice out of literally hundreds of reviews.
I mean, to be fair, I don't really listen to you all that much, so, I mean, you could be telling the truth on that one.
Oh, I was talking to Joe, not you.
Well, yeah, I know. That's my side, not yours.
Next game to talk about is the Diabolical Trilogy, developed by Diabolical Mind and Cowcat, published by Cowcat. Trilogy bundle release May 27th for $19.99. Three individual games are available for $9.99 each. The Diabolical Trilogy is a collection of three challenging old-school games united by fun. Also, the fact that they're developed by the same person and published by the same people. How do you want to take this? Do you want to judge them
in the butt?
Okay, first game is Xenon Valkyrie awesome. Plus, a roguelite platformer with RPG elements for hardcore gamers. Tell us about it.
All right, so, well, speaking of being, you know, fucked in the butt, this one, in my opinion, this was actually the hardest out of the three games. And of course, now that you say, oh yeah, it's for hardcore enthusiasts, yeah, okay, that makes sense. So in this one, you know, it's the usual, like, evil has swept the land, and, you know, you have to choose from, like, I think you're presented with three, possibly four, different characters that you can choose from, and they have stats attached to them, so, you know, like, one person has better attack, one person has more health, like, that kind of stuff, and, you know, like, one's, like, the generic one. So you have three different characters that you can choose from. Make your choice, and then you have to start going through the different levels. And pretty much what it is that it's just like a platforming, like, I don't know. I'd even call it kind of like a Metroid. I'd say it's more along the lines of like Castlevania than Metroid, but yeah, kind of. Anyway, so anyways, you're moving through these levels. You're obviously you're killing stuff. You're gaining coins, and then pretty much what you have to do is you have to just get to the very bottom of the level and figure out where the portal is to get out of it, because you're just trying to, you know, clear out to the next area. In between, there's like a shop that you can go into and get more stuff and upgrade your character, hopefully make them stronger and you won't die as bad, but we all know that that's not going to happen with me. And yeah, it's just like wash, rinse, repeat. And then once you die, because you're gonna, you find yourself back at the beginning. And thankfully, your stats are, you know, still up and stuff like that. So it doesn't completely, you know, fuck you over. But, you know, you just go at it again. And yeah, I mean, I didn't have as much fun with this one as other ones, but it is definitely a more hardcore game. So if you're looking for a challenge, I would definitely recommend it. If you're a more casual player like myself, I don't think you're going to have as much fun with it. But it's not like it's a bad game. It's hard, and it's going to cater to a different crowd.
All right, Riddled Corpses EX, frenetic arcade-style twin-stick shooter. Fight your way through hordes of enemies alone or with a friend. You don't have friends, so it's all alone. Tell us about Riddled Corpses EX.
Rude. Wait, did Aki also play this one or no?
No.
No. She has seizures, and this game is flashy. Okay. So unfortunately, she didn't get to.
Okay. No, I didn't know, because, I mean, we had talked, you had mentioned that she might review it.
Attempts were made, but unsuccessful.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Twin Sticks and I don't tend to get along, sadly.
Fair enough.
So anyway, Riddle Corpses.
Right. So this one's set in the zombie apocalypse, and of course, like the other one, you know, you can choose who you're going to be. You get dropped into the middle of this, and it's pretty much just shoot everything in your path and, you know, move on to the next area. And the game will take time to, like, you know, it lets you move about like a certain set area of the environment before it starts moving down, and like you need to keep moving with it. And the zombie hordes do not stop. And so it's a lot of running around the screen, making sure like you understand like what's around you and not, you know, hopefully not going to kill yourself, and gathering up as much gold as you can, so you can buy, you know, improvements for your character's weapons, health, all that kind of stuff. This one was, I mean, just like the other one, this one was pretty challenging, although I honestly found it to be more fun. And as I got farther in the game, you know, earlier spots became, you know, obviously they became easier because my gun was now shooting like four bullets at a time. And so I was able to destroy like gas canisters and cars and stuff like that. And then just watch all the zombies go whoosh and like get set on fire. whoosh. this one felt more casual to me. And even though I died plenty of times, it was still a lot of fun. Like, So, you know, I could see this one being great doing couch co-op. And hopefully you have somebody that you can do couch co-op with. But, you know, if you're sad and alone like me, then it's still worth your time to check it out.
Cool. Is there any online capabilities for it at all?
I don't think so.
No, it's local only.
Yeah. I didn't try to look for it, but admittedly, but
unfortunately it's just local.
That's a shame.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Third game in the bundle, Demon's Tear Plus, dungeon RPG roguelike with arcade and adventure elements. Enter the dungeons of King Thosgar and destroy his demonic minions. Jacob, what's going on in this one?
A lot.
Cool.
So,
and
so in this one, it's more of a top-down perspective, but so it's set in this like fantasy realm where like this evil like king is like decimating the kingdom, and of course you and your other plucky band of heroic adventurers have to put a stop to their shit. And there's this like little it's pretty much just a hole in the ground, and everyone's like, oh, there's like a sinkhole here, and you know, it's getting bigger and wider. Somebody needs to stop the demon king that's at the very bottom of this you know, get it to stop. I don't know. Anyway, so you get down on the your first floor, and it's pretty much just wipe out all the enemies, gather as much treasure as you can, and get down to the next floor. Now, the thing that I thought was really interesting about this one, as opposed to Riddled Corpses, is that each floor has a 5-minute time limit. Now, at the end of that 5 minutes, you're not necessarily going to die, but there is a Grim Reaper guy that shows up, and he is going to pursue your ass and fucking kill you. And they're totally immune. You, as far as I'm aware, you can't kill them. The game's guide says you can't, but I didn't level up my guy enough, like, to try. I mean, I just got killed every time. But yeah, so it then creates this extra hectic, like, you know, because you got 5 minutes to explore, and then you better be getting the fuck out, because otherwise this guy's going to come for you. And then once you die, anything that was on you, or sorry, any of, like, the currency that was on you, you have it stays in that spot, and then you have a chance, one chance, mind you, to go back and retrieve your loot. So fingers crossed that you're able to do it. I was never able to do it.
Shocking.
Shocking, I know.
Well, it sounds like you had fun with all three of the games. The games run $10 each, or you could get the Diabolical Trilogy for $20 that includes all three of them. What are your thoughts on the individual games and the bundle?
So for individual ones, I was really a fan of Demon's Tilt Plus and Riddled Corpses EX. I wasn't as much of a fan of Xenon Valkyrie. Or wait, am I pronouncing that right? Yeah, okay. I wasn't as much of a fan of that game, but honestly, for like $20 to get all three, like, that's a no-brainer. And the thing is that like the Xenon Valkyrie game, like that one, I was just like, it's just not exactly my cup of tea. It's not a bad game, it's just I'm not like that game's audience.
Yeah,
so you know, honestly,
it's buy two get one three basically anyway, so you got two you liked and a third one that you could try out anyway.
Yeah, exactly, you might as well just get that other one, like just do that. So do I recommend getting the Diabolical Trilogy? Yes. Do I recommend getting them all separately? No, because just buy the trilogy.
Sounds good. All right, that is it for you. I guess we'll let you get going so you could do tweets.
Woo!
Sounds so excited.
Woo! Yay. Oh, you know what? I've got something else I need to talk about.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. I've got a bonus review. Because guess what I watched when I was up in Maine?
What?
Come on, fucking guess.
No.
You're not going to... No. Fine. I watched Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City.
Okay.
Eh? No? No? All right. Anyways, it's not a particularly well-made movie. it's entertaining, but it's not that good. It looks like it was made on a budget of like $3 million. Although I am interested in seeing where it goes, but I don't know if there's going to be any announced sequels. But yeah, it's...
That follows a lesbian couple, right?
No, I thought that's a Netflix show.
I always get them confused because they have the same name.
I thought they were sisters.
Greater Biz says, I'm hearing the word like when Jacob talks as often as Aki says fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
that's fair. But yeah.
Damn. All right, we're letting you go. We have two more reviews to do.
Yeah, I know. You didn't even... Yeah, whatever.
No one cares about the movie.
I know.
Not even remotely.
Next game to talk about is Freshly Frosted, developed and published by the Quantum Astrophysicists Guild, released June 10th on Xbox One and Switch for $9.99. A dozen dazzling donut dilemmas await you. That's 144 puzzles to please your particularly puzzly passions. To excite and delight, there are mechanics galore, from splitters to pushers to mergers to cloners, randomizers, teleporters, and more. Aki, what's going on in Freshly Frosted?
I got through one third of the game before I started hitting levels where I was like, I can't quite figure these out. And
that's still a good number of stages. Considering there's how many?
There's 12 per each little thing, and as it says, there's 12 things of it. They're actually kind of cute. All the levels are individual donuts that you click on, and every 12 of them is a box of donuts. So you change to a new box of donuts and it has different shaped donuts in it, and it's super adorable. I love it. And the levels you haven't completed have no frosting on them. And after you've completed them, they have frosting on them. It's so cute. I love it. But basically the entire game is this girl has decided to, in order to get rid of stress, she imagines putting together a donut factory. I have no idea why. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. Okay, sure, whatever. So that's basically what you're doing. You have the start of where the donuts come out and the place where the donuts go in. And through that, you have to build a pathway from A to B. And eventually, you get different types of, different coverings for the donuts. I can't really say different types of donuts. They're always the same donut. But you get, now you need not just a plain donut, but you need a plain donut and a frosted donut and one that's frosted and sprinkled and one that has whipped cream on it too and another that has a cherry on top, even though that doesn't go on a fucking donut. It really seems to turn the donuts into cupcakes for some reason. I don't get it, but whatever. Hey, each their own, I guess. So you have to take it through all the different machines in order to get that specific donut and get it put in. And then sometimes some of them are like, okay, there's only one end area now, but there's 5 start points and it needs one of each type of donut. And you have to get them all there. And it gets very difficult sometimes because you can't go have one track go over another, and they can't go in multiple directions or anything. They can merge. They can always merge. And that's the only real thing that I had seen out of that list of all the different items that you get by almost 50 levels in. And I haven't seen any of those things, like the cloner or the splitter or anything. A splitter would be so fucking useful. already, that would be so useful in the game.
So it seems like the game eases you in fairly well. Like, it's not throwing everything at you right away. I know a lot of puzzle games, like, it'll be stage 1, this is how you move left. Stage 2, here's 40 items, learn how to use all of them right now.
Oh no, this one, it's very much the entire first box is just slowly introducing you to the various other types of donuts. And every box gives you another of donut. Basically, it gives you like I think 3 donuts in the first box, and then in the second box it's the fourth donut, and in the fifth box it's the fifth donut, and then it's all about the place just becomes a little more complicated to get to, and a little more complicated, and a little more complicated, and it's already too complicated. But that, so it moves pretty slow through that. It just recently even told me in the fourth box, it finally told me, hey, yeah, you can merge things. I'm pretty sure I could do that the entire time. I just didn't know it because it didn't tell me.
Well,
it gets complicated pretty quick, though.
Well, the game sits at $10. What are your thoughts on it?
I really like it. I think this is a game for pretty much everybody because, you know, it's not like you have any timing that you have to, you know, it's not like, oh, you only have 5 minutes to do this. No, you can sit there and figure it out. Take as long as you damn well need. You're That's able to good. Skip levels, too. And it'll even give you a hint. And you don't have to wait for the hint. You can just go in and click, show me a hint. And it'll actually put a few tracks up. None of them are completed or anything, but it shows you where a few things are needed in order to beat the game to help you get an idea of what you need to do, which is really nice, especially for stupid people like me, who really, 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 really needed it.
Hey, stupid people!
Woohoo! So yeah.
All right, one last game to talk about is called Word Wheel by Palgi, developed and published by Lightwood Games, released June 1st on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $7.99. The classic Word Wheel puzzle goes digital. Find as many words as you can from the letter shown, always using the middle letter. Aki, tell us about Word Wheel by Palgi.
This is basically Boggle, except for you have to use the middle letter.
Okay, is it fun?
It's Boggle. It was okay. If you don't know words, you're not going to like it because you're going to feel real stupid real quick. Thankfully, one of my favorite books of all time is an encyclopedia of dictionaries. So I did pretty good. What can I say? I'm a dork.
Proud of you.
Yeah. So each one of these, basically they give you four levels at a time. And you can play any of them you want throughout the entire game, but they give you them in sections of four, and each one of those is a single letter, and they form a word. And all the main words for each puzzle have to do with whatever that word is. Like, for one, it's wave. So you might have, like, ocean as a main word, or something like that, or synthetic. Or stuff like that, because they all relate to the word wave. So, and other than that, though, all the other words in it are just whatever else is made up for it. They usually have a 9-letter word that ends up being the word for that puzzle, though. And you need to get that on all of them for an achievement. So, have fun with that. Thankfully, you only actually have to find 500 words in total and get that main word for all of them. And that's all you really need to do for the achievement. So it's actually really easy. I was able to 100% this in like 3 or 4 hours in one day. Bad. Yeah. I mean,
there's 120 puzzles to solve, so there is a lot of content. After every puzzle, there is a terrible joke.
Yeah, it's not even after the puzzle. It's anytime you find that main word. Anytime you find that main word, it pops up that terrible fucking pun.
Good.
The game's and some bucks. Of them what aren't even. It? it's easy. It's simple. Fuck the puns. But, you know, otherwise, it's a fairly easy game. If you don't like fuck words, again, you're
puns.
Not going
to. Puns? Yes, games are pun. All about the puns. You have to love puns. The puns.
No, some of these weren't even puns. They were just statements. Some of them didn't even make sense as statements or puns. It was not good. I did not like the puns in this. There was a couple I chuckled at, and most of them were terrible. But I'm not a pun person. So if you're not good at words and you don't like words, you're not going to like this. If you're okay with that, it's easy. Or if you want to watch a walkthrough, I'm sure they probably have one. I'm pretty sure this game's been on Steam for a while, so I'm sure they have a walkthrough somewhere.
Cool.
So, yeah, easy peasy.
All right. Well, that is it for this episode. Made it through another one. Think how much quicker this episode would have been if Jacob was like, good.
Not here. Oh, like, he even just not been here instead.
Like if his,
it would have been a lot faster then.
His internet worked normally and we didn't have to keep stalling.
I mean, I think it would have only lasted or been maybe
3 or 4 minutes shorter. I don't think it would have been that much.
It was still a great chat. Thank you again so much to Mike at Berserk for coming on and chatting with us. Just Shapes and Beats finally out on Xbox right now for $20. So go give it a play. Music for the episode, we're going to play some Danimal Cannon from the game. So do you have any final words to end the show?
Fuck Jacob and fuck puns.
Got it.